This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Boomer Esiason is brought to you this morning by Town Fair Tire and by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Also brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Arbella Insurance, and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Good morning, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Well, some Patriots fans might be disappointed, but personally, I'm positively giddy over here, Boomer. I feel like we have a contender on our hands.
It feels that way, especially with the way that Cam Newton's playing. 30 of 44, 397 yards, running all over the place. I mean, he did really have a game. I have to admit, his game was pretty special last night. There was no question about that, and he deserves a lot of credits. Too bad he couldn't get in right there at the end, but you know, that's the option that you have. You either ask your quarterback to throw it or you get him involved in the running game because you have an extra blocker. And the Seahawks defense was up to the task of stopping him.
I mean, there were some. There might be somebody that's on currently with us right now who did not think Cam Newton was a fit, Wiggy.
No, it sounds like I hope he apologizes.
Well, I mean, we're 2 games into the season, you know, and I always say, you know, I preach patience, but I would even tell you, yes, he is actually playing better than I thought he would. And he looks like the Cam Newton of 2015. He looks like a dual threat. He looks like he's totally in sync with Josh McDaniels. And Josh McDaniels is calling plays that he's never called before. Maybe he did with Tim Tebow back in Denver. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But it seems like he's utilizing Cam's skill set about as good as anybody. And the thing about it that actually is shocking to me is just how accurate Cam has been. I'm not saying that he's been totally perfect. Russell Wilson's been almost totally perfect. He's on track to be the NFL's MVP with his performance the first 2 weeks. But all in all, I would say Cam Newton has filled in admirably, and not even admirably, but better than Tom Brady here the first 2 games.
Well, it's almost like he had too much zip on the ball when he threw that ball to Edelman in the end zone.
I think if you ask Edelman, he'll tell you that he needs to catch that one. But I mean, we all can't be perfect all the time. You know, sometimes our teammates have to help. And I will say this. Cam Newton is laying it on the line, guys. He is laying it all on the line. And he's playing, remember, he's playing on an incentive-laden contract. It's a minimum contract for a veteran, and the performance that he is giving is far out exceeding the contract that the Patriots are paying him. So give him all the credit in the world. He deserves it.
What did you think of that play call at the end of the game last night?
That's what I'm talking about. That's the unique dynamic that Cam Newton has. Now, they ran that play earlier in the game, and he walked right in for a touchdown. So they went back to it and tried it again, and seems like these two teams always end up on the goal line with one team having to try to make a play. One team tries to throw it. The other team intercepts it. One team tries to run it, and they can't get them through. They can't even get them back to the line of scrimmage, for that matter. I mean, it was a tremendous surge by the defensive line of the Seattle Seahawks. They were literally two yards in the backfield to stop him. So it's a call that worked earlier, and when you have a dual-threat quarterback that is as big as Cam, I don't see the problem with it.
Boomer, one of the things you just touched on was the way Josh McDaniels called that game. I think when you look at what he's doing with Cam Newton, he's really taking advantage of some of his skill set, but he's putting him in situations where his reads are pretty easy. It's not a lot of, you know, reading coverages and guys converting routes. Would you say that, I know we talked about his grade last week, but do you think that Josh McDaniels continues to just put Cam Newton in a great position to be successful?
100%. You know, 30 points on the road in Seattle, even though without fans, it's like a scrimmage. It's like practice, as Coach Belichick says. You know, and you look at the, you know, they scored all four quarters. I would say that, you know, Cam Newton ran the ball 11 times as well. You remember we were talking last week, he ran it 15 times. Think about this. So he ran 11 times and he threw 44 times. So he had 55 decisions that he had to make where the ball was in his hand. That's a lot of decision making. That's a lot of trust in your quarterback. And, you know, to me, I kind of feel like they're probably coming back, obviously disappointed. They lost the game. They had a chance to win the game late. A lot of teams did this yesterday. Yesterday was an amazing day in the NFL for a lot of different reasons. I think a lot of it because of all the scoring and all the points and all the great quarterback play that we've been witnessing. But I thought Cam actually took this game last night, and I think Chris talked about it a little bit, as like, all right, you know, I'm going up against one of the best quarterbacks in the league, who, by the way, called himself the best quarterback in the league, I think, on Thursday or Friday. So I'm going to go out there and show everybody that I can still do this. And this is a... I think it's going to be continuing kind of like unfolding in front of our eyes of what's going on. But if you ask me, they are, you know, on a collision course with the Buffalo Bills and their quarterback, who had his best day as an NFL pro yesterday as well.
Wiggy has been talking incessantly about the Patriots and the need to re-sign Cam to an extended deal here now.
Why now?
What do you mean why now? You seem like a person who plays poker. You ever heard the saying that every time you play, the price of poker just went up? Every game that Cam Newton plays at this level, his price tag just keeps going up.
And good for him, and he deserves it. And like I said, he's outplaying his contract in, you know, probably tenfold, twentyfold for that matter. But there's no reason to do anything rash or make any decisions at the moment. He has nowhere to go. They can franchise him next year if they wanted to, and there's no rush to do anything. I'm just telling you, he is playing a really physical brand of football, and I can't emphasize that enough. And I know he's big and he is strong. Now, if they do with him what the Titans did with Ryan Tannehill, I kind of get it. You know, it's not one of these long term, you know, $200 million contracts. If you want to do like a short term kind of median contract that's somewhere between 20 and 30 million for, you know, 2 to 3 years, I can see that. But I'm not going to get crazed just yet. We have a long way to go in this NFL season.
Boomer, week two we saw a lot of big names sidelined with injury. How much of that do you attribute to the lack of preseason and these guys not being able to get their bodies ready for play?
I think a lot of it, Danielle. There's these guys, they're going down like flies, especially the San Francisco 49ers, who beat the hapless Jets yesterday at MetLife Stadium. Now, the 49ers, after the game, kind of complained about the stickiness of the new field there at MetLife Stadium. Now, remember, Monday night, Pittsburgh and the Giants played on that field. No complaints whatsoever. The Jets and the Giants have practiced on that field through the summer. No complaints whatsoever. But when you lose players like Solomon Thomas, Raheem Mostert, Nick Bosa, and, of course, their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, there has to be questions. Now, whether or not the NFL will go look at the field and whether or not San Francisco, oddly enough, who's going to play the Giants on that field this coming Sunday, is going to play the game on that field, that's a whole other story. So that's a storyline that's going to be unfolding here in New York for the next 3 to 4 days. I don't see how San Francisco doesn't play the game. They have to play the game. Other teams have played on this field. It's just really unfortunate that they got hurt. And by the way, the Giants losing Saquon Barkley, just another terrible injury. It's another reason why you say to yourself, why do I take a running back at number 2 overall in the NFL? And I know that sounds cold, but the reality of the business is running backs don't last that long, and they do get injured. And this is the second year in a row that Saquon Barkley has had to deal with a pretty major injury.
Now, Tyrod Taylor from the Chargers went to the hospital, I think, with chest pain. So Justin Herbert, who was basically just drafted, had his his NFL debut as a starter. How do you think he did yesterday?
I thought he did awesome. I thought Anthony Lynn looked like he coached his first game ever as a head coach. Because in overtime, you know, it's 4th and 1, and I'm not saying that they would have made it. Mm-hmm. They may not have made it, and they would have given Kansas City great field position. But like I always think Bill Belichick is ahead of everybody. Maybe even Pete Carroll is in this vein, and so is John Harbaugh, for that matter. Great coaches understand the situations that they're in. So if you take the situation that the Chargers found themselves in overtime yesterday, they get the ball first, they win the toss. Great, they're moving the ball, and now they got a 4th and 1, and they're kind of in no man's land, in between the 40s, and they're like, okay, what are we doing? look, we're not punting to Patrick Mahomes, who finally woke up in the fourth quarter, and we're not giving the ball to a team that has a kicker that can kick a 70-yard field goal. We're just not doing it, and he's probably the best kicker in football. So Anthony Lynn, and I thought Tony Romo was 100% right on the broadcast. We were all in the studio yesterday talking about this. Coach Cowher's going, I'm not giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes if I don't have to. So therefore, I'm going for it on fourth and one. And they did not go for it. They punted. And of course, Patrick Mahomes moves his team right down to the field goal range like it's nothing, like he's playing on a playground. And they kicked the game-winning field goal. As a matter of fact, Butker had to kick it three times from 58 yards, and he made all three. So I would just say that Anthony Lynn really let his team down yesterday, and Justin Herbert, you know, brought his team back, gave that team life. Now, Anthony Lynn says that Tyrod Taylor's starting next week if he's healthy. And I'm like, what are you thinking about? Why? I don't know why. You know, your team is not going to the Super Bowl. You got to play the young kid. This is why you draft them. And Justin Herbert certainly showed enough yesterday that I believe he should be starting the rest of the year for the Chargers.
Boomer, I'm guessing that Tom Brady is waking up this morning in a more pleasant mood than he was last week at this time. Would you think the same?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's pretty obvious, right? He's happy, and Giselle's happy. The kids are happy. Everybody's cheering, and there's Tom Brady jerseys down there. And, you know, I'm sure he got a very good night's sleep in his Under Armour sleepwear and all that other stuff. So it's great. But, you know, again, they have a good team. They're going to be fine. They will be fine. And each week they'll get better and better. Each week they'll get more in sync with one another. The thing that's really impressive about that team, I think, anyway, is that they are pretty good defensively. I don't necessarily know that they're a top five defense, but I feel like they're a top 10 defense if they stay healthy. And that certainly will help Tom Brady win more games than lose. And it looks to me like, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers are going through a rebuild. And we'll see what happens with the Saints tonight in Las Vegas. This should be interesting as the Raiders get to open their new stadium.
Yeah, Gronk looks rather pedestrian.
Yeah, they're not getting him involved.
Is that the year off? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah. You know, it's like A.J. Green in Cincinnati, Gronk. You know, you tend to lose it a little bit as you get older, as we all do. I would say nothing is shocking in regards to players that kind of lose a step and aren't the players that they once were. I mean, Gronk was like, I don't know, he was the greatest tight end in football history for about 5 years there. And nobody could cover him. And the things that he could do on the field were eye-opening. Like, people will say, man, I can't believe a guy that big can make that catch. I can't believe a guy that big can twist his body, contort his body, and make a one-handed catch like he did. He redefined really what the tight end was all about at his size. So now you watch him and you compare him to then, and you're saying to yourself, that's just not the same player, and he is not back in sync with Tom Brady either. Look, if he has 35 to 40 catches this year, I think that will be a successful year for him. But it's going to be really hard for him to get there because it doesn't seem like they are utilizing him in their offense.
One of the things you just talked about was Anthony Lynn's situation, and I think when you look at coaching in the NFL, I would even go further before the overtime when they had the ball first and goal from inside the 5 yard line, and they got conservative and not putting Herbert in a position to throw the football, which led to them kicking the field goal to only go up three. The thing that I look at from this New England Patriots team, the advantage that they have, and it's so far ahead of everybody else, is their coaching advantage. And I think that's something that you're starting to see with a Bill Belichick team here, where they got a new quarterback. He comes in, and this team looks completely different than what we've seen in the past. When you think about Bill Belichick as a coach, isn't that always going to be an advantage Patriots by a long margin, regardless who they play?
You know, we talk about people that have chips on their shoulders, that have something to prove, and Cam Newton's one of those players. I'm sure Ryan Tannehill last year was that type of player for Tennessee, and he got a big contract out of it moving forward. Well, you know, coaches have chips on their shoulders too. And I would imagine that this was a great challenge for Bill Belichick coming into this season, trying to reconfigure an offense and work it around a player that has a skill set that's completely different than the player that he had there before at the most important position. So, yeah, I mean, adapting to your players. You know who else did that? John Harbaugh did that. You know, he had a statue back there in Joe Flacco, who is a flatliner, and flatliners don't work in the NFL, even if they win Super Bowls and Super Bowl MVPs. Now, I'm not saying Tom Brady is a flatliner, because he certainly wasn't. He was a grinder, but Joe Flacco was, and that's why he made the decision to draft Lamar Jackson and put him in there and reconfigure the entire offense to fit his skill set. So players or coaches like John Harbaugh, Bill Belichick, and, of course, Pete Carroll are going to adjust their systems to their players. And I would say that when you watch those things happen and those things unfold, and when they are successful, you look back at those coaches and you say, damn, they had some stones and they did something different that, and they changed their the team completely around. And that takes a lot of guts to do, no matter who you are. But it does help when you have Super Bowls in your back pocket, playoff successes in your back pocket, and you have reputations like those three coaches have. So they're able to take chances while other coaches like Adam Gase and people like that are stuck in the malaise of just trying to do something their way without getting out from underneath, you know, the failures that they have had to endure as they have been coaching.
Bill got a little testy about it when he was asked about it after the game last night. But do you think he missed an opportunity by not taking a timeout there at the end?
He could have. You know, now and these are the things that, like, to sit in judgment of Bill Belichick in the middle of a game is really hard to do, because there's never been a coach that understands the nuances of the game better than he does, whether it be field position through, you know, through special teams, whether it be when to punt, when not to punt. You know, he's had games in his past, and I think of a game against the Broncos, I think a game against the Colts and Peyton Manning, where he's done unconventional things that have turned out to either help or hurt his team in that particular situation. But he had a total perfect explanation as to why he did what he did. So I am not going to question the single greatest coach in NFL history when he makes a decision at the end of a game. I will question other coaches when they make the wrong decision, like Anthony Lynn did. I like Anthony Lynn. I think he's a good coach. But, you know, he made just a calculated error at the most important time of the game that basically allowed his team to lose that game.
Okay, Boomer, and just to be clear, you would say Cam Newton is a fit here, correct?
I would say after 2 weeks, Cam Newton is more than a fit here. He fits like a glove right now.
Yes. All right. Well, it's great to talk to you.
By the way, I got ripped by Jim Rome yesterday, too. You know, he did a little a soliloquy on Cam Newton yesterday, and he goes, all you dopes out there that said he wasn't going to be a fit. I'm like, is he talking to me?
He was. Yeah, he definitely was.
All right, I can't get them all right, guys, but like I'm saying, we got 14 more games to go. We got a long way. Hopefully, we make it all the way through the season. And, you know, we are still in the middle of a pandemic. It's hard to believe that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't tell you anything other than Cam Newton looks great right now.
All right, good. We'll talk to you next week, Boomer.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Bye, Boomer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.